From WNYC in New York, this is On the Media. I'm Bob Garfield.
And I'm Brooke Gladstone. This just in. Well, actually, it was last week that the excruciatingly nonpartisan website PolitiFact announced its 2017 Lie of the Year.
This Russia thing with Trump and Russia is a made-up story. It's an excuse by the Democrats for having lost an election that they should have won.
It's what the website calls a pants-on-fire lie, one that rejects heaps of evidence, such as Russia's theft of private data, its targeted placement of deceptive political ads, its armies of online bots and trolls, the release by WikiLeaks of Democratic National Committee documents snatched by what most experts believe were Russian hackers, the reluctant admission by Facebook, Google, and Twitter that, yes, Russia did use their platforms to influence the election. And, of course, the confessions of Trump campaign officials to lying to the FBI about contacts with highly placed Russians. Not proof of collusion, but certainly evidence of Russian attempts to meddle. PolitiFact singled out this particular lie for the honor because the stakes are so high. Denial of the truth, it said, makes it all the more difficult to address the problem. And so Trump says he's fully cooperating with ongoing investigations while dismissing it all as a hoax. Fantastic. As former U.S. Ambassador to NATO Nicholas Burns testified to Congress this past summer.
I've worked for both parties. It's inconceivable to me that any of President Trump's predecessors would deny the gravity of such an open attack on our democratic system. I don't believe any previous American president would argue that your own hearings in the Senate are a waste of time.
But then, no previous president was so obsessed with the media, or had so much media with which to be obsessed, especially cable TV news, most especially Fox News.
The stench coming out of the Justice Department and the FBI is like that of a third world country where money and bullies and clubs decide elections.
Fox talk show host and Trump buddy Jeanine Pirro, a former judge and prosecutor, is talking about anti-Trump texts written while he was still a candidate by an FBI investigator who was speedily dropped from special counsel Robert Mueller's ongoing Russia investigation when they were discovered. Not good enough.
There is a cleansing needed in our FBI and Department of Justice. It needs to be cleansed of individuals who should not just be fired, but who need to be taken out in handcuffs.
It's an anti-Mueller, anti-FBI feedback loop, claiming that Mueller's probe is hopelessly biased and downright corrupt.
CNN's Brian Stelter is alluding there to the power of Fox News, a point underscored by the website Mediaite this week when it posted this year's list of the most influential in media. Rachel Maddow was number 5, Matt Drudge 4, Sean Hannity 3, CNN chief Jeff Zucker 2, and number 1...
Fox and Friends starts right now.
Mediaite wrote that, quote, "The President of the United States regularly starts his day watching Fox and Friends and then tweets about whatever they cover. That alone makes Steve Doocy, Brian Kilmeade, and Ainsley Earhart three of the most influential media people, not just in the United States, but in the entire world."
The President of the United States has taken on the FBI.
Steve Doocy.
It was revealed that, remember Robert Mueller, who is the special counsel, he has had the reputation of stalking his team of attorneys with a bunch of people who love Hillary Clinton. Well, as it turns out, they had to essentially fire from the special counsel investigation a fellow by the name of Peter Strzok. He's an FBI agent, and as it turns out, he's a Trump hater.
Meanwhile, the chorus of Democratic anxiety and mainstream media excitation grows more intense.
Do you worry that they're trying to shut down the investigation by year's end to lay the foundation for Donald Trump to fire Bob Mueller?
That's exactly what I'm worried about.
Representative Adam Schiff this week.
I think this is a concerted effort to deprive the country of getting to the bottom of what the Russians did and what help they may have had from the Trump campaign.
Senator Mark Warner this week.
Any attempt by this president to remove Special Counsel Mueller from his position or shut down the investigation would be a gross abuse of power and a flagrant violation of executive branch responsibilities and authorities.
Senator Richard Blumenthal.
It would provoke an uprising, an outcry, and outrage in the American people and in this chamber. But the time to make that fact clear is now.
I want to be very clear and make sure that I address Senator Warner's concern for the 1,000th time.
White House Press Secretary Sarah Huckabee Sanders.
We have no intentions of firing Bob Mueller. We're continuing to work closely and cooperate with him. We look forward to seeing this hoax wrap up very soon.
Did she just say hoax? Pants on fire.
There was a Chicago Tribune columnist, and the headline was, Trump insists he won't fire Mueller. I don't believe it. That's the attitude of the press.
Howard Kurtz hosts Fox's Media Buzz.
Journalists, pundits, commentators, they're saying, no, no, he could do it. You wait. And therefore, we need to talk about it. What if? But right now, it's a hypothetical. It's a hypothetical that the president himself and people on his behalf have denied. And yet, that doesn't seem to be slowing down the media narrative.
PolitiFact said that, quote, it's not so much that Trump trades in falsehoods. It's more that he tries to create a different version of reality simply by asserting it. Listen to Trump. The real story isn't about a firing, but about a hoax. His hoax. That the FBI, the Justice Department, the court, the Congress, the free press are a joke. And he's the joker who won. That's a fact.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, the New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.